Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
2 days from now, the Commanders are going to try to land a generational QB. Don't forget to think about your next generation. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad, can guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's right. Mention G&D, get a discount. KMLawyers.com. Before we get out of here in about 20 minutes, we've got a preview of Caps Rangers and Nats Dodgers coming your way right here on The Fan. But I'm fired up to have Benjamin Solak back on the show. He's outstanding, breaking the game down both analytically and with the film. You can check him out, does all of his work over at The Ringer. You can check out his NFL show as well. Benjamin, first I've got to pick a bit of a nit with you, which is I was watching one of your streams yesterday. I didn't realize how much you hated food. You literally said if you could touch a button every day and just be full and have your sustenance, you wouldn't eat anymore because you don't enjoy eating food. I'm paraphrasing.
That's because I didn't say I hate food, right? I said that eating is overrated, and that's what people are conflating. Mm. I certainly would still go to nice restaurants, eat great food, but if I could, on an average work day, circumvent the whole, oh, I got to figure out what to eat for lunch, I got to figure out what to eat for breakfast, got to try and eat healthy, got to try not to spend too much money, it's all just an enormous headache. I would, 6 of the 7 days of the week, I would pass it by, I would treat myself with a nice dinner at a restaurant, one meal a week, sounds ideal.
He's a take-a-pill-be-full guy. It's like, The year 2313 will be awesome for you. You know what I mean? Just like a ground up Soylent Green. You'll be all good.
The month. I can't wait.
Appreciate you, dude. All right, let's get into the draft here at this stage. How much do you think the chaos that we're all thinking is going to happen actually happens? Because I feel like in years past, it felt like, oh, there's going to be a million trades, and then it always kind of lets down. Do you think it's going to be as chaotic as maybe folks are anticipating?
I think that it won't be as chaotic as we are hoping and expecting, but it will be more chaotic than usual. Mm-hmm. I had one of our research guys at The Ringer, a guy named Dan Comer, who's excellent. He found for me that the average number of traded picks that show up in the top 10 in every draft, and the number is only 2.7. Only 2.7 out of the top 10 picks in every draft go to a team that doesn't belong to them. Right now in this draft, we already have one, right? The Chicago Bears are picking at one overall. It's not their pick. It's the Panthers pick. I think by the time we get through the top 10, I think we'll have three. I think we'll have four, potentially five picks made that are not the picks that belong to the original team. People who are expecting, you know, a quarterback move up and then another quarterback move up and the Jets move up and then they go get their wide receiver and then the tackles. Like, there's probably not going to be that many fireworks. But I do think we're going to see a decent amount of movement here in the top 10. It's a weird class. It's very wide receiver heavy. It's very offensive tackle heavy. It's very quarterback heavy. Really light on pass rushers, defensive tackle, even corner. Like, it's fine, but it's not as good as it usually is. It's such a polarized class that teams are going to want to move. Because a guy that you like at 8 might be there at 15. And a guy that you need at 17 might only be there at 10. So I do think it's going to be an active draft night.
Ben, what does your quarterback board look like after all of your research and study?
Yeah, I think Caleb's the best quarterback in the class. I think Caleb would be the best quarterback in the class in most years. I think he's we throw generational around too often. I think he's an elite quarterback prospect. I think he's got multiple All-Pros to his name. I can't wait to see him in the league. Behind him, I do have Drake May. I think May's the second best. I understand some of the concerns, but I think the reward is so much worth the risk. The big plays that he gives you both with his arm, with his leg, the aggressiveness. You know that he has the play style and the physical toolkit to sustain a really explosive offense. I think May second. McCarthy and Daniels is splitting hairs for me. I struggle with it every day. I flip-flop. I wishy-wash. The reality is that Daniels is a much higher ceiling and a much lower floor. And so when you're talking top five, top 10 pick, you probably want to roll the dice on the really high ceiling guy. You want those top tail outcomes that can really change your franchise. But there is a lot of risk with Daniels because of the age, because of the late breakout, the slight frame, the one read and scramble mentality. He doesn't have a lot of red flags on his profile. So there's a lot of worlds where he's great. There's a lot of worlds where he's out of the league in 5 years. That's the challenge measuring him to McCarthy, who just, I think, is a lot more Eddie steady. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league. I also think he has a good chance to be a starter for quite some time. Great fan of Shanahan offense. Has some good football ahead of him, too, because he's so young. I think he can develop into a nice, solid starter for you. So it's a little bit splitting hairs, picking your flavor with 3 and 4. But Caleb 1, Drake 2 for me. I'm pretty set on that.
Benjamin Solak, the Ringer. So go back to May for a second. You said you understand the risks. Could you tell us what those risks with May are? And then also, if he maxes out, what does that look like?
Yeah, so with May, you have a really aggressive player. May likes to try to win the game on one play, and he does that too often. Now, I don't think he's in the red. Like, I don't think he's to the point of no return. Jameis Winston, he's going to throw 30 touchdowns, 30 picks. You're never going to be able to trust him. He's more like in the yellow. You just have to teach him how to dial it back a little bit. But he throws into windows that he shouldn't throw it into, and accordingly, he gets passes broken up and intercepted. He holds onto the ball for longer than he needs to, trying to throw down the field, but he's got guys open underneath. He's just a big game hunter. And at his time at UNC, especially this final season, they had such a poor offensive line, and they didn't have good receivers. He kind of felt like he always needed to put the Superman cape on. Honestly, there were times that May, in this past season at UNC, reminded me of watching Josh Allen at Wyoming, where it was just like, hey, if I'm not the greatest player on the field right now, we're going to lose. So I'm just going to go out here and try to win the game in one play, right? So there's an aggressiveness that leads to some amazing inaccuracy. It leads to some of his footwork problems because he's just trying to hold his water there for as long as possible, create throwing windows that aren't there. You have to teach a guy to dial that back. And that can be hard in the league because windows get smaller, movement gets faster, and stuff that you were able to get away with previously, you can't get away with anymore. So I wouldn't be surprised to see May have a little bit of that Josh Allen arc when he first got into the league and didn't look pretty at first, but then the light bulb came on. What can I get away with? What can't I get away with? Mechanics clean up a little bit. I think also like the rookie season of Trevor Lawrence and the early career of Trevor Lawrence is a good proxy for what May might be. Lawrence walked in the league and the physical talent was undeniable, but he was just throwing 25-yard seam balls, getting blown up by a linebacker. And you're like, dude, check it down. Get to 2nd and 6. You don't have to play like this anymore. And I think that sort of an arc for May is reasonable to expect, and accordingly, he can have a ceiling of players like Lawrence and players like Josh Allen in the league.
The Ringer's Benjamin Solak with us here on G&D. So the only reason, and it's a small margin here, we're talking about two guys that should absolutely go in the top three, Ben. So it's not like I think someone's a bum. The reason I prefer Daniels to May is, with regards to May, I didn't watch near as much as you did. Obviously, I'm just a soft-bodied dude that likes sports. But I'm going, how could you miss that? You know what I mean? Like, 10,000 quarterbacks in America can make that one. Now, they can't do the one where you're drifting to the right and you throw it 70 yards downfield across your body on the line, hitting some bum in stride. But the easy one, you're missing your check down by 10 yards, or you know, you're totally inaccurate on something that was easy and right there. That's the one that I kind of scratch my head about with him. Your thoughts there?
Yeah. So here I'm gonna flip it a little bit. If you're gonna miss a throw, miss the easiest one, because I can fix that. That ain't hard, mm-hmm. right? I know for a fact that May is physically capable of hitting a slant route, right? It's when okay, like JJ McCarthy, when JJ throws outside of the numbers down the field, he misses regularly. And when you watch him, you go, okay, like, you know, he really is putting his whole body into trying to get enough velocity here, and the ball just dies on him. I don't think he'll ever be able to make this throw super accurately all the time. With May, I know for a fact that he's physically capable of making the throw. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, like this is an actual inaccuracy that's more fixable for me. I need you to be a little bit smarter with your feet and smarter with your base. I need you to be a little bit calmer in the pocket. And now he might not ever be the most accurate dude on a check down, but I will trade not the best check down passer for, holy smokes, he can hit a window the size of a pinhole 30 yards down the field. I'll trade that any day of the week. I'll make that deal. It absolutely makes my offense a little bit more mercurial, makes it a little bit more up and down, which you don't love. You'd love to be a super reliable Patrick Mahomes, can just nickel and dime you all the way down the field if you let him. You'd love to be that way. But you're always paying something to get something when it comes to quarterbacks. Play style and choices, there's always risk and there's always reward. If you think about, like, early Wentz, before the back injury, before Nick Foles, when Wentz looked like he was going to be the guy for the Eagles, Wentz had some of that to him, where he'd be like, dude, just hit the, like, be accurate, throw into the back in space. But there's no reason for this to be a problem. But everything else that Wentz was doing with the running and then the tackle breaking and the throws down the field, it made it all worth it. So I agree it's annoying, but it's better than the alternative, where there's throws he's physically incapable of hitting. I've got a little bit of, I can fix that with Drake May.
Mm. Our guest is Benjamin Solak. Let's get to Jaden Daniels. So you referenced, you kind of go back and forth on him versus McCarthy in the 3 and 4 quarterback spots in this class. Means that you're lower on him than many are. So I guess first, why? Mm-hmm. And then also, as it pertains to, you know, you mentioned like maybe the floor being lower and the ceiling being really high. Dive into the floor part of it, because we've had a bunch of people tell us they think that he's a safer pick than May, as an example.
Yeah, and that's, I understand that perspective, I really do, because when you go and there's fewer missed throws on Daniel's film than there is on May. For me, that when I go to find a red flags on a quarterback's profile, right, the things that I look for, the first thing is I really want you to have an NFL-sized frame, because I'm worried about injuries piling up on you. And Jaden Daniels is just simply a really thin athlete for the position. Doesn't have a lot of body armor. He saw him take some devastating hits at LSU. I'm worried about his health long-term. So that's there for me. I also really like guys who got good when they were younger, got good with less experience. Because we've now seen a few dudes come out thinking about a Kenny Pickett, thinking about Bo Nix in this year's class. Guys who only got good after 40 career starts, after 45 career starts, when they were 3 years older, 4 years older than all the opponents that they were facing in college. And that's the case with Jaden Daniels. People bring up Joe Burrow and say, well, Joe Burrow was a transfer to LSU, and he got good at the end of his career. But Burrow didn't start at Ohio State. So the plays that he was taking at LSU, those were his first plays. Those were his first reps as a starter, as opposed to Daniels, who really only got good after accumulating a ton more experience than the other guys. So that's a red flag for me. He played with two top 20 picks at wide receiver. He played with, in my opinion, two first-round picks, both at left tackle and at right tackle. That's not so much a red flag, but it does add to the question of, okay, why did you suddenly get good when everybody around you was really going to go top in the NFL? That makes me wonder how much of the pie belongs to you, right? And then the last thing with Daniels, and this is really the one that makes me shaky, I love mobile quarterbacks. I love quarterbacks with ability. I was a Lamar guy. I was a Justin Fields guy. I love a runner. Usually, I like a running quarterback because he's able to eliminate negative plays with his legs. The biggest value of scrambling isn't just, you know, ripping off those 50-yard runs against Alabama and Florida, but it's taking a sack, taking the play that would be second and 17 and escaping it and getting to second and 10 or getting to second and 8. It's just erasing that negative play with your mobility. And Daniels, he's a great scrambler. He scrambles all the time. And it's very dangerous, but he takes a ton of sacks. He doesn't do a good job eliminating the negative plays from the pocket. You'll see him panic in a little bit messy but generally clean pockets all the time. That's another red flag for me, where I say, okay, I like mobility, I do, but you're not giving me what I need mobility to give me. You're not eliminating these negative plays in the pocket. You're not taking away these sacks. So there's just a lot of flags that pop up on Daniel's film with the age, with the frame, with the play style, where I say, okay, I love the film. There's so much on the film to like. But history's taught us some things about quarterbacks, and some of the red flags that it's taught us are present on Daniel's profile. That's what makes me feel a little shaky.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, Ben, here, I want to delve into that a little bit because the pressure to sack percentage is alarming. It's basically a bunch of bad quarterbacks, and then Joe Burrow have had something similar in terms of that pressure to sack percentage profile. My nuance within there, though, is it's the fewest yards lost per sack among any of this year's crop of quarterbacks, which tells that story about turning a terrible negative into, I guess, less of a negative. And his expected points added blow everybody else away. A lot of that's because of all the touchdowns. But it's also some of those things that are dead on arrival aren't anymore because of him, right? Isn't there some nuance in some of those pressures there, or does that not show up that way on film?
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And, like, there are high sack quarterbacks who have been really successful in the NFL because they make the juice worth the squeeze. Mm-hmm. This was Russell Wilson back in his prime, and even like when he was a little bit past his prime, but he was still a high-caliber athlete. This was Deshaun Watson with the Texans before the injury and everything that came with Deshaun. There were quarterbacks who were high sack rate quarterbacks who made it worth it because they were so doggone good when they were throwing the football, right, or when they were scrambling. They every play was explosive enough. And listen, when you watch Jaden Daniels run, you're like, okay, this is not going to be a problem, right? Like, this guy can fly. And so what you have to acknowledge when you're going through that process, when you're picking out that nuance, is that you are seeking a reason to believe that Daniels is an outlier. And that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. If Washington went through that process, GM, head coach, OC, everybody came together and said, we believe in this cat, right? We think he is going to be able to overcome this historical red flag, then believe in what you got, take them with your chest out, and ride with your guy. Like, I've got no qualms about that. But you still have to know that that's what you're doing. You're hunting a reason to believe in a guy to be an outlier when it comes to this particular metric and this red flag that we found in the draft over the last 5-10 years. So just know what you're doing when you're doing it.
We have not talked about Penix or Nix. Penix, to me, is going to be fascinating. I could see him going top 10 in that 12-13 range if one of those teams doesn't come up. I guess he could also go much later in the first round. Where do you see him coming off the board? And then is it kind of a foregone conclusion that Bo Nix goes in the second round or no?
I'm suspicious that Penix goes round one just because we do this every year. I understand the reasons why. I wouldn't bother me too much if he went round one. It's just every year we do this when we get close to the draft and we start to get the rumors, oh, actually, this quarterback might go round one. You know, the teams want the fifth-year option. You know, I thought Peter Schrager said we're going to have six in the top 16. It feels like there's always power creep. It feels like every new report is just a little bit earlier in the fifth guy's going, a little bit more confident the sixth guy's going. So to me, I always fade those reports. I always harbor doubt for that. Penix and Nix both can be successful in the right environment. I think those are guys that are going to have long careers in the league. They might be QB2s who are fringe QB1s, low-end starters, you know, make Gardner Minshew careers, Jacoby Brissett careers on themselves, maybe one of them Geno Smith. You never know. One of them Jalen Hurts, right? There's plenty of ways to go about it. Both are likable players. Just for me, if I'm drafting a quarterback round one, I'm drafting a player that I anticipate handing the keys of my franchise to, whether that's day one or year three, right? Whether that's Patrick Mahomes or Jordan Love, right? You're resting, sitting the guy for a year. I anticipate giving him the keys over. And I don't feel that way about Penix or Nix, because to me, like, they just don't have that level of talent, right? They're just not that caliber of player. Penix was playing with the Super Friends. Like I talked about the LSU supporting cast. What Penix had with Washington was unbelievable. I think he was great at playing his role in the offense, kind of pointing and shooting, letting those receivers win downfield for him. When you kind of view him in a vacuum, I don't find him to be as impressive. I don't think he holds up as much. And then Nix is just like a coach's best friend. He will do whatever you tell him to. He'll just take the check down, take the safe play, go through the progression. He won't hurt your offense. That's that ideal backup quarterback sort of mentality, right? He's super experienced, and he's not gonna neuter you, not gonna ruin your offensive system. And so both likable players. Both read to me as much more so round two guys than they do round one guys.
Benjamin, quick transition here to the tackle spot. Where's the kind of line of demarcation for you between the, you know, some of those top tier guys, maybe starters week one this fall, can be your linchpin left tackles for, you know, a decade, and then maybe more of a multi-year project? And again, thinking about Washington's needs here, and they got a couple second round picks, maybe they move up. Where's that kind of line of demarcation for you with this tackle market?
Great question. I'm not sure there is one. I mean, you can get starting caliber offensive linemen in day two of the draft. Now, that has always been true, right? Now, certainly a left tackle, the premium position, it gets a little bit trickier. And you would prefer to be picking on one of these top 10, top 15 guys over one of the back end guys, surely. And so I do think that Joe Ault out of Notre Dame, Kalich Fuaga out of Oregon State, Olu Fashanu out of Penn State, J.C. Latham out of Alabama, Troy Fontenot out of Washington. I think those are your top five. I think those guys are day one starters. And then once you get to the Amarius Mims out of Georgia, the Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, talk about a Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. Now we're introducing guys who are a little bit more, okay, maybe they're projects. But all of those dudes I just named, I would feel very comfortable putting out there at left tackle in week one for Washington. Because, one, players get better when they play, right? We develop over time. Like, it is nice to get those reps under them. And secondly, those guys I named, throwing a Kingsley Suamataya out of BYU, is a player I like a lot at the end of the first round. Those guys have multiple years of starting experience in college, and they held their water. They hung. They don't have the high ceiling that some of these early drafted players are going to have, maybe. Or you know, in the case where they are the high ceiling guys, like an Amarius Mims, you only have 8 starts under them, so it's a little bit more uncertainty. But you could still hit on a day one starter plus year one player who has a decade of potential starting for the left tackle for the Washington Commanders. You can find that late round one. You can find that early round two for the guys who don't go. Like, those players are available. In this tackle class, there is not a pick at which I would be like, oh no, there's no tackle for me. There are so many dudes. And it's unbelievable tackle class. Washington's in a great spot to take a guy wherever he falls to them.
Benjamin, excellent information. Was looking forward to doing this. Thanks for the time, man. And enjoy the few days leading up to the draft now.
Of course, fellas. Appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
See you, brother.
Yeah, be good. Check him out. The Ringer's Benjamin Solak on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Danny's rocking his We've Got Wood t-shirt celebrating James Wood's pending arrival.
So that's what that meant.
Capital. We got a 106.7 The Fan merch shop. New gear in time for the baseball season. I, yesterday, was wearing my theme shirt for almost like a, like an election.
It's a campaign.
The old Cruz Wood theme, but you've got the Cruz Missile shirts. We've got Wood. Go check it out at thefandc.com. Our whole collection with Breaking Tea, the 106.7 The Fan merch shop is up and running. Speaking of the Nats, let's get you the starting lineups and pitching matchup for tonight, presented by The Window Man. Since 1989, The Window Man has been the educational window company. Get your free, no-pressure, in-home estimate or at thewindowman.com, Fairfax showroom.
Betting first, playing shortstop. See? Jake. Abrams batting second in right field. Lane Thomas hitting third in left field. Jesse Winker. Cleanup hitter Joey Meneses of zero home run fame. Riley Adams hitting fifth, doing the catching. Ildemar Vargas batting sixth and playing third base. Nick Senzel is your designated hitter tonight. Luis Garcia batting eighth, playing second base, and Jacob Young in center field. That's Jacob Young in center.
I get that it's a lefty on the mound, so Garcia being in the lineup is probably a good sign. A little surprised to see him moved all the way down to the eighth spot, hitting almost .320 with an .820 OPS. You mentioned no home runs for Meneses. He and Ildemar Vargas, the only of the regulars in the lineup, and Vargas isn't really one, but at times has played a bunch because of Abrams missing a few games and some injuries at third base. But those are the guys who have not yet homered among the guys that get some decent playing time. Meneses is at least driving and runs 8 RBI after a busy weekend with a couple big hits against the Astros. On the mound, Patrick Corbin, the 34-year-old lefty, final year of his contract. He's given up 4, 4, 7, and 5 runs in his 4 starts.
Sounds like a passcode.
Last time out against the Dodgers. Did pitch into the 7th, 9 hits, 5 earnings, so they will look for him to pitch better and get that ERA under 8 for the season, 8.06 now.
James Paxton on the bump for the Dodgers, by the way. If he could ever stay healthy, he would be great. He could never stay healthy.
He is an incredibly gifted lefty, though. 2.81 ERA for him on the season. Elsewhere tonight, when you're not paying attention to the Nationals, we got playoff hockey in the nation's capital. at Madison Square Garden in New York tonight. They'll drop the puck a little after 7 o'clock for the Caps and the Rangers. Let's give some keys to the game presented by Rude. Is your cooling system letting you down? Take a slap shot with Rude and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit RUUD.com. If it ain't Rude, it ain't right.
To me, this is about slowing things down. You are not going to be able to match fire with fire with the Rangers team that is more skilled, that's got more lethal offense. Muck this thing up. Slow it down. Get the puck deep. Get pucks to the net. Have enough whistles, stoppages of play, those sorts of things. Don't let them get in a rhythm. Don't let them have breakouts against you. Take care of the puck in your own end. Clean exits. But to me, this has to be, you see the razor-thin margin the Capitals are playing with, right? A two-minute lapse is all it took for the Rangers to pile three goals on. You got to play tight. You got to play annoying, right? Maybe you can get on a couple power plays here and there, but just playing solid hockey.
Darris, I want you to play us out here in a minute with Talladega. I'm not a country music guy, but this is the Caps victory anthem, and I'm hoping to get a video from the team tonight of the players all singing it in unison like they're around a campfire after the game, like we got when they punched their playoff ticket with a win on the final day of the season against the Flyers. Couple of keys for me. Ovechkin, zero shots on goal, needs to be more active, more involved. Top line in general, Ovechkin, McMichael, Oshie has to be just more active. You got to get more shots on goal from those guys. You've got to get more scoring chances at high danger from the top six, frankly. That's also line two. That's Dylan Strome, who led you in goals with players not named Ovechkin this year. Tom Wilson, Alexi Protas, who led them in shots on goal, mostly just throwing pucks toward the front of the net at the end of the game. He's expected to be skating on that second line. And then their best line for major stretches this season has been the fourth line, centered by our guy Nick Dowd. I love the way Nicholas Aubé-Kubel is skating. Beck Malenstein is a grinder and is physical, and he hits and he blocks shots. That fourth line has to slow some of the Rangers' skill down a little bit. You saw the Rangers, their fourth line had two goals, including a fairly gameless big fellow who likes to fight, Rempe, who found a puck in front of the net and potted it. You just want a little more out of, really top to bottom offensively, the group that was so quiet in the first game. And then defensively, we're going to see Lucas Johansson, who I think is going to wear 46 tonight, I saw, get a sweater. He has played very minimally in his career in the National Hockey League. He's just a baby getting called up to make his postseason debut.
Enjoy that.
You've got McElrath, who's basically an AHL type, who's the captain of the Hershey Bears. Johansson, they'll team them up with the veterans. Funny to say a veteran, with Alexiev and Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, the old guys.
But it's going to be another 29-30-minute night for Carly. A lot of Marty Ferravari. You need Alexiev to make good decisions, stay out of the box. He took a penalty holding early in the game against the Rangers. So I'm worried about the defensive end. But this is what we said going into the Bruins game, if you remember.
Yes.
Toward the end of the year.
That's right.
What was the plan that night? Offense. Mm-hmm. Best defense is going to be keep the puck, go to the other end of the ice. You got to find a way to do that. And that power play looked terrible in game one. Hopefully they figured something out.
Agreed. Yeah, credit to the Rangers there, too, for being disruptive. But it looks like the Caps had no answer to that, right? Maybe you punish them for overcommitting here and there. But to me, I think, again, if you try to get a little up and down, I think you're in trouble. So to me, this has got to be a gross game. I think that favors the Caps.
All of our Caps playoff content today was brought to you by PVI Office Furniture. Get to their showroom in Frederick, Maryland today. Score big with their Power Play playoff special. They're giving you 20% off your new office chair. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. For Darris, Ryan, and Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. Awesome. DC Sports Night. Let's go 2-for-2 tonight.
Here we go. Let's go, boys.
Caps, the priority. Have like a Nats win over the Dodgers as well. We're back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Got a great show planned for you as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. Here's to turn it up, slowing down, because it goes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.